G'day my friends and welcome back to Happy Days. This is your pal Jesse bringing you another awesome episode for you to enjoy and to brighten your day and make it just that little bit happier. This episode's a good one. We're having a good old chat with a very, very dear friend of mine in Draven Davidson, the drummer extraordinaire of many, many great bands, namely Jenna Torturers, Wayne Static and Static X, Davey Suicide, and even Twisted. He's played for a bunch of others as well. He's got quite a few stories to tell. He loves a shot of Jaeger and moonshine as well. But yeah, he's just a great guy, man. He's I can't say enough good things about him. He's one of the good guys in my book, and it's an absolute pleasure to call him a friend. And yeah, man, I hope you enjoy this story as much as I enjoy putting this episode together. And I hope this makes your day just that little bit happier. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of Happy Days. And please don't forget to subscribe and give this show a rating. It actually apparently goes a long way. Not that I look at statistics and numbers, because to me that's boring as batshit. But if it makes your day a bit happier, then it makes mine a bit happier. And that's what matters, right? Okay, let's get the show started. Have a great one, guys, and enjoy my chat with Draven. Draven.
What up, what up? Can you hear me?
Oh, man, can I hear you? What? Pretty good for an underground bunker with a Motorola flip-top phone and dial-up connection. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm kind of a big deal. I make a lot of magic shit happen, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you, brother. That's what you do, man. That's what I love about you. You make magic happen. Dude, welcome to, and thank you for sharing your happy days with me.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, dude. It's been a while between chats, so what a way to catch up. This is cool, man. So got a little bit of stuff to cover, and yeah, strap in and let's have some fun.
Fuck yeah, let's do it.
All right, man. So, Draven, we go back a ways, as far back as your days beating the shit out of the drums, as I like to remember you.
Accurate.
Yeah, yeah. In a band called the Jenna Torturers, sorry.
Indeed, yes. I spent some time with the Jenna Torturers, and, you know, a lot of things I can't unsee from playing in that band, but it was a good time. You know, got to meet some good lads around the world.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, absolutely. None that I know of anyway. But yeah, man. Oh, that you've got, you know, just a side note there, with sitting behind the drum kit, man, you've got, some would say, the best view in the house, but I would like to think that you are in a position of no escape when there is a view that you would rather not see. Would I be correct in saying that?
You would be very correct in that. There was many a times, you know, guitar player and bass player would just look at me and laugh and walk off stage, you know, during some of the antics. And I was just stuck there with nowhere to go. And,
yeah,
you know, I'd just see them off side stage laughing at me, and I'd just be giving them the finger and like, fuck you guys.
Yeah, man. And, you know, as I like to mention occasionally, and I love my brother, drummer Jethro, very much, but, sometimes when the power of curry compels you, man, you've just got to let it rip. And sometimes it just happens to travel in that direction of the poor drummer's face. you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. With Jenna Torturers, you know, we'd bring people up on stage and stuff will get crazy. And, you know, end of the show, we had this bit where we're sticking champagne bottles up people's asses and stuff.
Wow.
And, you know, one night the sound guy got all pissed off at me afterwards because, some of the anal champagne got on his kick drum mic and ruined his kick drum mic. And I'm like, man, it's not my problem. I didn't put it there. So, that's, you know, one of the many nights I couldn't go anywhere. I just had to keep playing. The show must go on.
It does, man. It has to. And, you've done that extremely well over the years, man. You've played with, Static X, Wayne Static as well. I mean, that's a wonderful experience that I'm sure you had, many a good time with as well.
Yeah, like playing for Wayne was awesome, man. I was always a huge Static X fan and, you know, loved that band for a long time. And then, yeah, the opportunity came up. He was putting out a solo record and, you know, putting a band together. And I knew the guy who was gonna be playing guitar, Ashes, who I played in a couple bands with. And he had me come out, you know, it gelled, it clicked. I got the gig, did some tours with Wayne, and then he got the Static X name back and wanted to keep it going and asked me to keep playing with him, you know, as Static X, which was an honor. So, you know, getting to play those iconic Static X songs, and I call him Old Tall Hair. So, you know, getting like you said, the best seat in the house, sitting behind Old Tall Hair and just ripping those songs was awesome. So.
Yeah, man. And you know what, that just brings a real happy memory to me, because you know, we go back away, but my fondest memories is sharing a tour with you in the US, you know, on your home turf, you know, when you were playing in Davey Suicide. And I remember we played in Dallas, Texas one day, and we're playing at Trees. And I remember you stood next to me, and I think I was with Matt as well, and you pointed to one of the many drum skins that were up on the wall, that, you know, like a hall of, you know, a wall of fame. And your name was up there on the Static X drum skin. That must have been surreal to see that, right?
Yeah, that was super cool. And I, you know, Trees is always a special venue too. Vinnie Paul from Pantera, you know, God rest his soul. Used to come out there, and, you know, he came to see us a couple times, and we'd end up at his strip club, you know, afterwards, and just, you know, hanging out with Vinny. And, you know, it was just crazy. Some of the people I got to meet, you know, with Wayne and stuff, that, you know, obviously idols of mine and, you know, colleagues, you know, kind of at that point. So just getting to, you know, look out and see Vinnie Paul just chilling at the bar, and then, you know, just kicking back with him afterwards. He's one of the coolest guys, and, you know, just opportunities like that you just don't get all the time. And
of course,
so, you know, venues like Trees where there's the memorabilia on the wall, and being fortunate enough to be on a couple walls, you know, around the country is something that's super cool. And I'm so lucky to have that opportunity.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's such a cool sentiment too, man. I remember Trees fondly, man. That was on that tour. That was one of the most special places for me to play. I knew, being in Dallas, especially being in, you know, Vinnie Paul's and Dimebag's turf, man, just I could feel the love for those guys. It was so transparent. But
okay, did you guys go visit Dimebag's grave on that tour?
No, we missed that
opportunity. I couldn't remember if you did or not.
No, man, we had a chance to go to Vinnie's club, and we had to make tracks, because, as you know, we were, you know, we had to get from, yeah, show to show. So we were just like, man, let's make good time and get through to the next city. And we ended up at In-N-Out Burger with the boys from Unloco.
There you go.
Yeah. In-N-Out, man. What a place. It goes in and it definitely comes out.
Yeah, that's called truth in advertising right there.
Yeah, man. I mean, you guys can keep that, man. That was, wow. Heavy. So, yeah, man. So, you know, you're saying about, you know, meeting colleagues and playing with your heroes and stuff like that. Take us back a little bit, like those first early experiences for you. How surreal and how magical did that feel for you? Like, one minute you're beating the shit out of drums in your garage, and next minute you're up on stage with, you know, the likes of Wayne Static and some of your heroes. I mean, how was that for you, those early days?
I mean, I just think, you know, I'm very lucky. You know, there's a million guys who are better players than me, but I play with a lot of passion and just took the risks at the right time and, you know, got some good opportunities and just went for it. You know, some guys aren't that lucky. I was originally from Ohio, which is just kind of a Midwest, you know, place in the middle of the US, and then got a chance to move to LA and join a touring band. And, you know, to move all the way from Ohio to California, that's a big leap. And just, you know, I was in college at the time, but I was like, you know what? This is the time. I flew out, I think New Year's Day, to California, auditioned for this band. It was called Blacklist Union. Got the gig. And I was like, all right, cool, man. Like, you know, would you guys need me back? You know, what's the plan? I got to fly home. I had a condo. I was in school. I had an internship, had a band. And the singer's like, I mean, honestly, like, we go into the studio ASAP. Like, I don't want you to go home. I was like, well, I got to go home, man. He's like, you know, how soon can you be back? And I was like, give me a couple of days. I flew home and, you know, quit my job, quit school, told the girlfriend, who's now my wife, you know, that we're I'm moving to California. And 3 days later, I was back in California rehearsing to go in and record. So,
wow,
you know, just, you just got to go for it. So,
yeah, absolutely. You know,
and two, just, you know, taking every opportunity, people you meet, like I never burned any bridges with any bands, you know, anytime I left a band or a band broke up, I always stayed on good terms with everybody. You know, I'd give notice and help find replacements. You know, I've never left a band in like a fuck you, you know, situation. So through the people I met in Blacklist Union, even though that was a very difficult band to be in, those relationships led me to Jenna Tortures, which led me to Wayne, which led me to Twisted and Davey. You know what I mean? Like everything just kind of happened for a reason, and just following your gut. And, you know, when I thought it was time to leave a band, put in my notice. If I thought I should stick it out, I'd stick it out for another tour, you know, and it all just kept leading to the next thing. So,
yeah,
you know, just follow your instincts.
That's it, man. I mean, that's one of those crossroads moments that I quite often reflect on with people, is that, you know, you approach a cliff face in life and you either stop and look down, or you just take the leap of faith and go for it. And in that case, you've certainly taken the leap and gone for what you believe in.
Yeah. And I was always, you know, just, I always loved being in bands. I always just wanted to be in a band and jamming with guys and stuff. And then after Blacklist, I kind of got into this hired gun kind of situation, just getting calls for different tours and, you know, recordings and stuff. And, you know, it's a different mentality, kind of just being the hired gun and a backup guy, which
for sure
is good and bad. You know, you get paid, but you don't have any real creative say. You just kind of shut up and play the drums and, you know, just be where you're supposed to be, which, it, you know, works for some people. Some people it doesn't. And I've had some crazy bosses, you know, so just kind of sitting back and taking it all in isn't for everybody. Yeah. But, you know, again, it just kind of, it's where my fork in the road led, and it's worked out for me. So I'm glad, you know, no regrets with any band.
And that's it. And I mean, you've played with some incredible bands, but making the transition to Twisted, that one really intrigued me, because that's not like a normal band. I mean, that's essentially a hip hop duo of sorts, and you find yourself in this group, you know, playing drums and stuff, but it seems like they treated you less like a hired gun and more like a part of the band. Is that about right?
Yeah, I've kind of weaseled my way in more and more over the years. And it was a weird, you know, connection. Davey, we were going to go out as the opening band on a Twisted tour, and I'd never heard of Twisted before. Like, I remembered ICP from high school, you know, a couple people listened to them. I knew a couple ICP songs. And so, like, you know, the little Juggalo type connection is all I knew. I'd never listened to Twisted. And a friend of mine called and said, hey, Twisted's looking for a lighting guy for this next tour. And I know you're going to be out with Davey. Would you want to do lights for them too? And I was like, yeah, you know, double the money on tour and keeps me out of trouble, keeps me busy. So I ended up being their lighting guy at first. So I would, you know, play drums with Davey, pack up my shit, run back inside, get ready to do lights for Twisted, you know, and did that for a tour. And then they started messing with the idea of putting a band together. And they'd met Ace Von Johnson out in L.A., who plays for Faster Pussycat. And,
you know, nice guy, man.
Yeah, L.A. Guns and stuff like that. And super nice guy. They met at like a Cold Cock whiskey party. It was like, oh, yeah, you know, because they were trying to get into more festivals and stuff. And they kept getting, oh, you're too rap for this festival. Maybe if you had a band. And they're like, well, then fuck it. We'll put a band together. And they wanted me to still keep doing lights and production for them. So they actually put together a band, and Ben Graves from Murder Dolls and Boy Floyd and Davey, he was actually the first drummer. And so, and so they used him for a bit, and it just wasn't a good fit. You know, there was some technical stuff, and it didn't work out. And they had some shows still booked as the band, and they didn't know what to do. And they were coming up quick, you know, it was like less than a month. And I was like, could you play drums for it? I was like, yeah, you know, I can play drums and I'll program the lighting. I'll just kind of do all of it. They're like, oh, awesome.
Yeah.
And then the band, it just didn't work. It never quite gelled. It was just too much on stage. You know, the guys have been a duo, just the two of them on stage for 20 years. So now you've got guitar players and keyboard players and me. And it was just, you know, we just never quite got it to gel.
Yeah.
So they weren't going to use the band anymore, but they're like, but we like what you're doing. I was like, well, then let's just keep the drums. You know, it'll just be drums and tracks and you guys. And like, you can do that? I was like, fuck yeah. Like Travis Barker does it with every rapper out there right now. You know, like it's actually kind of trendy right now to just have a drummer.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, cool. And that's just kind of how it worked. And then they wanted to get into more rock music. And, you know, they asked me if I'd want to write some stuff for them. So me and Needles, who was actually the keyboard player for Davey Suicide, he wasn't always on the road, but he's always been a part of that band. I thought he'd be a good fit. So we kind of started this production company. We've written a bunch of songs for Twisted on their last album. They've got a new rock album that's going to be coming out in the summertime. We've got a bunch of songs on that. So I kind of helped, you know, push them towards the rock stuff. Then we got Warped Tour a couple years ago. We did the last cross country Warped Tour, which was awesome. And, you know, I just think having a drummer, especially like on that tour, just made a huge difference. I don't think they would have gone over as well if it was just them up there with tracks. So, you know, I'm basically their lighting guy, their production manager. If they want cryo or lasers or kabuki drops or whatever, I make all that happen for them and then play drums,
you know,
program the sets and just kind of handle a lot of stuff for them now. So they definitely have, you know, brought me in. I've been in their comic book. I've got a little like Lego action figure toy that they made me like, you know, all kinds of weird childhood stuff. Like I never thought I'd be in a comic book and stuff like that. So they've really, you know, brought me in and made me part of the family, which is super cool.
That's awesome, man. And in a comic book as well. I mean, I'm a massive comic nerd. How was that for you, man? Seeing your likeness in a comic
book? Oh, dude, it was surreal. You know, it was so cool. And it's such a fun comic too. It's a really cool series. The people writing and the graphic, the illustrators, and everyone's just a really, really good team. And you know, and then bringing in like me and some of the other artists on their record label and stuff. And it's kind of almost like a Scooby-Doo kind of thing. Like they're kind of fighting ghosts and, you know, there's all this stuff. And I'm this ghost girl that I'm the only one that really sees her a lot of the time. And she's flirting with me and all this stuff. And like, I don't know, it's crazy. It's fun. So
that's awesome, man. That's really cool.
I'm in there fighting ghosts with drumsticks, and I've got a symbol that's a shield. Like it's crazy.
Oh wow!
So that's nuts, man. It's a lot of fun.
Have you still got your animal toy on your drum kit as well?
Yeah, he's just kind of hanging up in the garage now. Like he lost a leg and an arm, and he was getting pretty beat up. Yeah. So
yeah, man. Yeah. I'll never forget that. That was such a cool thing to see, the animal toy on your drum head, on your kick drum. It was so cool.
Yeah, I had him. I had one for, you know, probably a good 10 years, and he just finally kind of bit the dust. And a couple other, you know, fans would give me animal dolls and stuff like that. So,
oh, that's cool.
You know, I'd always end up putting one on my drum kit. And with Jenna Tortures, he had a ball gag in his mouth and, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Oh,
so
that's crazy.
Animals seen some things.
That's crazy. That's crazy, man. And you mentioned before you started a bit of a production company with Needles, man. What's the gossip on that little venture?
Yeah, so I mean, it's called The Danger Within. It's what we call ourselves. You know, we're on Instagram and Facebook and thedangerwithinmusic.com. And it started as just kind of a songwriting thing. We're like, we should probably just, you know, make a name for it. So. And then over time, we just kind of turned in. We're like, you know, wouldn't it be cool if we just kind of had a one-stop shop where, because Needles does a lot of graphic design work. We started to get into video editing, and we're doing all these lyric videos for people now. And, you know, I've edited some music videos for Twisted and a couple of their artists. So it just kind of turned into like a one-stop shop. Like if you're trying to, you know, we can write you songs. We can do your social media content. We can do video for you. We can design your album cover and merch. And just kind of try to make it a one-stop shop. And, you know, honestly, over the past few months and over the pandemic and everything, we've been doing more lyric videos than anything. We always have, you know, 4 or 5 lyric videos in the queue. So we've been doing more video work now than music, which is weird for us. But, you know, we're getting gigs and, you know, paying the bills and stuff. So we just kind of adapted, you know, with quarantine and just kind of what people needed from us. So. You know, like I said, we've been writing some songs for Twisted still and a couple other artists. And then, just a lot of video stuff. So, it was just an idea. Like, let's just be a one-stop shop. And whatever we can do to help an artist, you know, make their vision come true.
That's really cool, man. That's a really good way to utilize your time, especially in, you know, the weirdness that is. And it sounds like you and Needles have definitely done it in spades, man.
Yeah, it was just one of those, you know, since he didn't really do a lot of the touring with Davey, we were never really that close. You know, we just haven't spent the time in the van like some of the other guys. But then he's a great songwriter. And, you know, he loves to get into the production side, and he's got every plug in, and he's in there tweaking the sounds, and, you know, just really a mad scientist with all that. And I was like, dude, you know, Twisted wants some songs. They like the Davey sound. You know, do you think we could kind of start with that and evolve on it? He's like, yeah, that'd be cool. And it just kind of took off from there.
That's cool, man. So, I mean, it must be nice being at home a bit more with, you know, with the family and, you know, having that balance of home life and married life and stuff. But do you miss the road?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is the longest I've been home in over a decade.
Yeah.
You know, normally I don't get much more than a month or two off in between tours. And, you know, a lot of times I was playing for multiple bands and, you know, leapfrog and tours. So I might, you know, be gone 3-4 months at times and then home for a month or a couple weeks. So, I mean, I was touring pretty heavy for a while, and it's nice. Yeah. You know, I'm mainly just with Twisted now as far as live stuff, and, you know, they've been around a long time. They've got families. They're not trying to go out for 6 months straight or anything crazy. So it's a good kind of balance right now. You know, we go out for a month, 6 weeks, home for a few months, you know, some stuff in the summer, a good fall tour. So, I mean, it's a good balance. And then actually I had a baby 14 months ago. So, you know, she kind of came right before the lockdown and everything like that. So I'd planned to take the spring off. She was born in February. I was like, well, you know, I won't do the spring tour, and we'll figure out the fall tour and stuff. And then everything shut down, and I've been home with her this whole time, which has been amazing and awesome. And it's crazy to think I haven't, you know, played a show in over a year. Yeah. It's crazy.
Wow, that's cool. Teaching her the drums.
I've got an electronic kit here I track with and stuff, and I sit her down with it all the time, and she's got the sticks, and I'm like, you're already better than your mom, and I've been trying to teach her drums for 15 years. You know,
she loves it. That's awesome. Oh, that's great. So being on the road and stuff, man, no doubt you've got some crazy ass tour stories as well, man. Like I got an insight into what seemed like every day for you guys when we toured the States, but living out of a van, like things like the gentleman's shower and just learning to adapt on those long periods on the road. Like, do you have some crazy moments that stand out especially for you?
So in the States, I don't know, do you guys have oil spotting in your tours? You know what that is?
So,
you know, in our world, if you get oil spotted, you get left at a truck stop. And so, you know, it happens more on tour buses because, you know, they'll stop in the middle of the night. If you get off and, you know, don't use the proper etiquette, leave your tour pass where the driver can find it or something like that, you might get left behind because the driver's not going to go check every bunk. Well, I got oil spotted on a Davey tour, which is really sad when you're in a van with guys. And I'm like, we had a guy driving. It was our merch guy. He was driving, pulled in somewhere. I got out and it'd been a rough night the night before. So like, I didn't have my contacts in. I still had half my stage clothes on. Like, I was a mess, and I didn't grab my phone or anything. I just ran in, you know, I was going to use the bathroom real quick. And I passed him.
Yeah.
Like, he was coming out of the store after he paid, and I walked in and I gave him a head nod, and I thought he saw me. So I go in the bathroom. I come out, the van's gone. I'm like, huh? Oh, I was like, maybe I went to the wrong side. It was this big, like, interstate, you know, truck stop thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the other side. They're not there. You know, I check my pockets. I don't have my cell phone. I don't even have a way to call these guys.
Oh, wow.
And it was on this stretch of highway where, like, there's no exits for miles. It's not like your normal highway or you're in town. Like, this is just a big highway kind of going between no man's land. So there's, you know, it's like a half hour to get to the next turnaround. So I go inside. Sure. I'm asking that. I was like, can I use your phone? I got left here. Look at me. It's a long story. I call my wife. I was like, you got to start calling one of the guys. Just keep calling until they wake up. So she starts calling Davey. He finally picks up and she's like, are you missing something? He's like, what are you talking about? She's like, look behind you. And my bench was empty. They all start screaming. You know, I'm sitting in this truck stop for like 2 hours just waiting for them to, because then they had to go back a half hour the other way to turn around. You know, it was just this crazy thing. And I was just like, how did you guys leave me? You know, like, it's a van. It's, you can see everything. And I saw you go in. So, you know, that was a fun one, getting oil spotted, being hung over as hell with no money, no phone, no nothing in a truck stop.
Yeah, man.
But that's, you know, crazy. I mean, there's most of the best stories are nights I can't remember. So as you've seen, you know, we've, we had a couple nights we tied it on a bit. So,
yeah, man. I mean, I remember when we were in Austin and you, your gig bag of wonders, you pulled out the jar of moonshine.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember Chippy's eyes just lit up like a Christmas tree. I've never seen him so happy.
Yeah, I think after that one, that was one Chippy started following me around like a little lost puppy whenever he thought I had moonshine.
Oh, he did. I remember he did.
All of a sudden, I had a new best friend on that tour real quick.
Very much so, man. And Chippy's he's a tough one to shake off, man. When you bond with him, man, he's there with you, man. That was
special. I remember I was playing in Static and Davey was the opener, so Ben was their drummer. And I found this like black aluminum water bottle with a skull and crossbones on it. I was like, hell yeah, that's awesome. So I started calling it the poison bottle. And, you know, Davey and those guys were just the opener, you know, no rider, no nothing. So I'd always basically fill up the water bottle with Jaeger and a little splash of Red Bull. And I would just carry the poison bottle. And I told the guys, I'm like, look, man, here's the rule. If I offer you the poison bottle, you just drink it or you don't. You don't ask me what's in it because that's rude. And they're like, all right, cool. Yeah. So, you know, I'd give him, pass him the poison bottle, try and get him drunk. But every night Ben would go, what's in it? And it was always Jaeger Bomb. That's the only shit I drank. It was never going to be anything. And I told him, and I was like, dude, if you ask me again, I'm going to slap you. He's like, okay, I got it. Yeah. Next night, what's in it? So I slapped him and I started gentle. It was a little toy slap. I was like, dude, if you keep asking me, it's just going to get harder. And by the end of the tour, I was legit punching him in the face every night. So, you know, it was just, what, dude, you got the poison bottle? What's in it? Slap. You know,
bam.
I was like, dude, when will you learn? Like, come on, man. I don't want to hit you, but I have to teach you.
That's awesome. Oh, man. These are the moments that you reflect on, man. And it just, sometimes we have to remind ourselves why we do what we do. And I think moments like that definitely put things in perspective. Yeah. You know, just those fun moments of, that can only be.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if you don't soak up those moments, there's no point in doing it. Cause I mean, you know, there's good shows, there's bad shows there. That's whether you're a local band or a national band or whatever, like there's good shows and bad shows.
Yeah.
There's good crowds and bad crowds, but like those nights where, you know, just partying with you guys and us just sipping moonshine on that rickety, smelly ass RV of yours.
The infamous rock.
Yeah,
vomit.
Shag and wagon you guys were driving around. Like, you know, those are the memories I remember of these tours more than, you know, what's your favorite shitty? What's your favorite venue? I'm like, I don't know, man. They all blur together. But, you know, those moments after the show or in the parking lot with the other bands and stuff like that, like those are what really stick out to me.
Yeah, man. And do you have playing in all these bands and everything and playing the drums, do you have a particular style of drumming that you is your go-to style that you are most fond of?
I mean, I've just always been a high energy drummer. I like the big show drummers. So, I mean, you know, I remember way back in the day, I think before I even started playing drums, I saw Tommy Lee in the 360 drum kit. And I was like, oh, like you can do that. Like, I want to do that then. You know, so it was like, you know, your Tommy Lee, Shannon Larkin, Joe Letts, Dan Fox, Angel, you know, and some of those guys ended up playing. We ended up playing in the same band. So just those were the kind of guys that really inspired me and I thought were cool. Like I've never really cared about being the fastest drummer or, you know, being able to play crazy 16/7 time signatures and Tool and all that. I was like, I don't give a shit, man. I want to hit as hard as I can. I want to get people moving and dancing, you know? So it was always just that kind of Rob Zombie metal type drumming where it's not, you know, I'm not a blast beat guy or anything like that. It's just, you know, Static X stuff. Evil Disco was, you know, my right in my wheelhouse.
Well, that's it, man. I mean, as I always say, you know, if you want perfection, download or you know, as they do today, or buy the CD. You know, that's where you get all that crap. But it's all about the show, being in the moment. And man, that was for me always a highlight, was watching you do your thing, man. It was just like nothing else, man, I've ever seen.
I appreciate that.
Just,
thank you.
Yeah, flailing. Yeah, dude, it was like you were like a show in itself, you know. And it's funny when you mention about dialing things down on stage with Twisted. My earliest memory of that was when I remember when you toured with Genitorturers, and you and Jen did a Gen X set before. Man, like, I still to this day wish that we could hear the Gen X stuff, because that sounded killer. That was, I believe, Tim Scold produced all that material, if I'm correct. But, yeah, just seeing you and her up on stage just doing the thing, it just sounded larger than life, you know?
Yeah, and, like, that tour, we came to Australia, that was my first time working with her. Like, I, you know, I got in the band, and the whole band was supposed to go to Australia, and there were passport issues, and so guitar player and bass player couldn't get in. Like, so we're like, what do we do? And she's like, well, fuck it, we're just gonna go, we'll do Gen X. And I was like, I don't even know what that is. So she's like, it's basically you and me playing more dancier versions of stuff. I was like, okay, cool. And so then she decided just to not really do any paperwork. So we snuck into your country, beautiful country. And I remember going through the airport. She's like, dress like you're going to American Eagle. Like, just look preppy. She had this like blonde soccer mom wig. We didn't stand by each other. Like, we didn't know each other. I didn't bring any gear. She's like, don't even bring drumsticks. We'll get it all there. Like, we're not going to work. I was like, okay. So, you know, I've barely met this woman. Now I'm sneaking into Australia, which was also pretty much my first like international gig, was, you know, like,
yeah,
I'm like, oh my, I'm freaking out, but I'm trying to be cool. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, if I get arrested trying to sneak into Australia the first time I leave the country, like, this is crazy. You know, it all worked out. We had a blast. You know, a very dear friend of yours, you know, filled in on bass for us. So like, it was, you know, Matt filled in, he crushed it. You know, and I just remember the first gig, I'm sound checking and setting up, and we had a suspension act as like an opener. And I didn't really know what a suspension act was. Like, you know, I just hadn't really seen it. Like, I wasn't really in this S&M world and all this stuff. Like, I didn't know what I was getting into, you know what I mean? And so I'm setting up and, you know, checking some drums. And next thing I know, this guy's getting these massive hooks through his kneecaps and his ribs, and they're flying him in the air. I'm like, dude, what the hell is this? Like, that is the gnarliest thing I've ever seen. And, you know, it just got crazier from there with Genitorturers. So, like, that was my first introduction, was like, hey, we're going to go sneak into Australia, play some shows, you know, crazy suspension acts and performers and, like, just craziness. I'm like, this is nuts. And this isn't even the full band yet.
And as Chippy always says, man, what can possibly go wrong?
Yeah, right?
Man. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny. That sounds exactly like a certain band that I know very, very well that did a similar thing going to America once upon a time. Yeah, very, very strange.
Did you guys sneak in too? You guys didn't have papers?
Well, look, I just know some guys that, you know, were supposed to go on tour, and they didn't take any equipment, no stage gear, just dressed in tracksuits and going on a bachelor party.
Brilliant.
And, separate, not together. And I was like, wow, I would never do something like that in a million years, ever.
Yeah, I was a good little boy before, you know, I started being an international spy and sneaking into countries. And
Oh, that's crazy, man. So it sounds like everything's going really well for you, mate, with the production company and Twisted still going strong. Sounds like everything's, you know, pretty well in your favor at the moment. So
yeah, I mean, I can't complain. You know, when I'm here in Vegas, I do AV stuff and lighting stuff for conventions. All that stuff got shut down. And the company I work for, we started doing virtual conventions, which, you know, suck, but it pays the bills. And so, you know, I know a lot of my friends in the business have not worked at all. So I was lucky enough to keep doing production stuff, making videos, doing virtual conventions. So I've been really busy this past year, honestly, like, you know, So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I've been very lucky, and you know, everything, we're just kind of firing on all cylinders right now. So
that's so good, man. I'm so happy for you, man. Well, Draven, man, thanks so much for sharing your happy days with me, brother, man. It's so good to hear
you. Yeah, man, it's good to hear you too. It's been too long, my friend.
Yeah, well, we'll do it again sometime, man, and hopefully not as long between chats.
Absolutely.
Again,
give the boys a cheers for me. Give Chippy a hug. I miss that crazy fuck.
Yeah, I will, man. Yeah.
Hell yeah, man. Well, I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, man. You take care, man. Thanks so much.